إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. Continue reading the explanation of كتاب التوحيد من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد of our noble شيخ الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات. قال شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم جناب التوحيد وسده كل طريق يوصل إلى الشرك، وقول الله تعالى: لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم الآية. Chapter 22 in Kitab al-Tawheed. In this chapter, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala he's going to mention the narrations and also an ayah of Surah At-Tawbah, how the Prophet ﷺ protected the Tawheed and block any way that lead to shirk, and block any way and any path that leads to its opposite, a shirk. And he mentioned the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. And the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he completed the ayah, حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. Verily there has come unto you a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst yourselves, meaning whom you know well. It grieves him that you should receive any injury or difficulty. He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is anxious over you to be rightly guided, to repent to Allah and beg him to pardon and forgive your sins, in order that you may enter paradise and be saved from the punishment of the hellfire. For the believers, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is full of pity, kind and merciful. مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. What is the relevance of this chapter to كتاب التوحيد? Sheikh Fawzan explains and he says, أن المصنف رحمه الله لما بين في الأبواب السابقة شيئا من حمايته صلى الله عليه وسلم لجناب التوحيد أراد أن يبين في هذا الباب حمايته الخاصة. He says in the previous chapters the مصنف, which is the author Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says in the previous chapters, so Shaykh al-Islam, he brought in these chapters how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protected Tawheed. We learned in the previous chapters the Prophet's endeavors to protect the purity of Tawheed and the purity of the Muslim belief. That belief has to be pure, not mixed with other things. You believe in Allah alone, do not associate with Him anything, any partners. And the Shaykh mentioned, we learned in the previous chapters, that we shouldn't call upon others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the like. In this chapter, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahu wa ta'ala will mention that the prophets, he will bring to us the prophets' most remarkable efforts in this regard as related to not only protecting Tawheed, but in this chapter we'll learn that the Prophet also has blocked any way and any path that lead to shirk. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah says, harisun alaykum, ay shadidul hirsi wal raghbati fi hidayatikum wa husuli an-naf'i al-ajili wal-ajili lakum. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so concerned to guide the people. He was so concerned. That was his main concern, that his people accept the truth and to save themselves. And by them accepting the truth and being guided, they will gain many benefits while they're alive, and then they will get the great benefits after their death. المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this verse, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يخبر تعالى عباده على سبيل الامتنان أنه بعث فيهم رسولا عظيما من جنسهم وبلغتهم يشق عليه جدا ما يشق عليهم ويؤذيه ما يؤذيهم شديد الحرص على هدايتهم وحصول النفع لهم شديد الشفقة والرحمة بالمؤمنين خاصة منهم. Here in this ayah from Surah At-Tawbah, Allah the Exalted subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded His servants of His many favors. Of His many favors that He subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for them a great messenger from among themselves, and who speaks their own language, because He was sent to the Arabs at that time. Amongst them, amongst the Arabs, He was an Arab, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but He sent to all of mankind. He was sent to all of mankind, not just to the Arab for them. He was sent amongst them at that time. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, that he sent to all mankind, lil'alameen, not just to the Arabs. And this is this clear misconception. Some people, they says, no, that's, yes, they believe that he is a prophet and a messenger, but only for the Arabs. Because he was an Arab, and he sent to the Arabs as every messenger or prophet sent to his people. Now this is not the case. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an Arab sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sent amongst them, but not just for them, for all mankind, the Arabs and the non-Arabs. And Allah mentioned in this ayah that it grieves the Prophet ﷺ what grieves them, and that he was so concerned that they be guided so that they can harvest the many benefits that those people who are guided obtain. And this messenger ﷺ is very merciful full of pity and kindness, especially towards the believers. It's in particular towards the believers. Then the Shaykh Rahim Hafidahullah, he explained Munasabat al-Ayah lil-Bab. Because this is how the Shaykh do it. Now he mentioned why the Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, has chosen this ayah as a proof in this chapter. قال أن هذه الأوصاف المذكورة فيها في حق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تقتضي أنه أنذر أمته وحذرهم عن الشرك الذي هو أعظم الذنوب لأن هذا هو المقصود الأعظم في رسالته. He said the attributes ascribed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because Allah tells us about him Subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عزيزٌ عليه معنتم حريصٌ عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوفٌ رحيم. All of these attributes give an explicit indication that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strictly warned his nation against shirk. He wants good for them. And anyone who wants good for his people, he warned them from shirk. Because that's the main destructive thing. So he warned them against shirk, which is the greatest sin. This is the greatest of all sins, shirk. Ash-shirk billah, wal-iyadu billah. So therefore, the greatest purpose of his mission as a prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to protect the purity of the Muslim belief and Tawheed. By warning them against shirk, he's protecting the purity of the Muslim belief and protecting their Tawheed. And this is very important to understand. And this is the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, this is the manhaj of all prophets, manhaj al-anbiya, fi da'wa ila Allah. And you can benefit even greatly by reading the book of our beloved and noble Shaykh, Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali hafidahullah. His book Manhaj al-Anbiya'i fi da'wati ila Allah. That the methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what distinguishes the da'wah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, al-da'wah al-salafiyya, from the da'awat al-batil al-hizbiyya, from the different calls or callers who call to hizbiyya, partisanship, and they are upon falsehood, from al-firaq al-dalla, from the deviated groups. They don't focus on the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They busy the people with anything but to make sure to teach them tawheed and to protect them the Muslim belief from shirk. You find them calling to anything, politics, this, the ruler, this, that, he said this, this, that. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Rather, some very wicked and deviant groups, they call the people to shirk. It's okay to do it. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْآيَةِ. Now we get to the benefits extracted from this verse in Surah At-Tawbah. أولا يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حذر أمته من الشرك وباعدها منه وسد كل طريق يفضي بها إليه. أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حذر أمته من الشرك وباعدها عنه ومنه وسد كل طريق يفضي بها إليه. That the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has warned his ummah against shirk so that they can stay far away from it. Moreover, he صلى الله عليه وسلم blocked all ways and avenues leading to it. Ya subhanallah. We understand this in this dunya. If there is a danger somewhere, you will find the police block all streets. Where wrong? If there is a shooting in an area, or a fire, or a flood, or a bridge that is out, you will find that the first measure that the authority do is to block the ways that lead to that. Because other people don't know, they keep driving. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam blocked all avenues and paths that lead to shirk. Number two, التنبيه على نعمة الله على عباده بإرسال هذا الرسول الكريم إليهم وكونه منهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. التنبيه على نعمة الله على عباده بإرسال هذا الرسول الكريم. إرسال هذا الرسول الكريم إلى الناس نعمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى. Also, this ayah draw our attentions about a great ni'mah and a great favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the people. By sending this noble messenger, our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people. And he was from among the people. And the ulama, they mentioned, he speaks their language. They know who he is. They know his lineage. So it will be easy to accept what he's saying. ثالثا مدح نسب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو من صميم العرب وأشرفهم بيتا ونسبا. Likewise, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highly praised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lineage. He's highly praised in this ayah, the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is from the noble tribes of the Arabs. He's from the noble tribes of the Arabs. وهو كذلك. رابعا بيان رأفته ورحمته بالمؤمنين. Likewise, this verse highlights the Prophet's compassion and mercy towards the believers. He highlights also our beloved Prophet's compassion and mercy towards the believers. And we should learn from this as well, because he is the example for us. We should have this compassion and mercy towards one another, towards the believers. خامسا فيها دليل على غلظته وشدته على الكفار والمنافقين. Also, because in the end of the ayah, it mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ was stern upon the disbelievers and the hypocrites. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا ولا تجعلوا قبري عيدا وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم تبلغني حيث كنتم. In the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Sheikh mentioned a hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, do not make your homes graves as graves. Do not make my grave a place of celebration, that the people will come and celebrate and put celebrations. send your salats, blessings, graces, honors, and mercy on me. Your salat will be conveyed to me, whatever you may be. Whatever you may be. The Sheikh, he mentioned, first of all, he's explaining some of the sentences and the statements of the Prophet ﷺ when he says, لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتُكُمْ قُبُورًا. Do not make your houses as graves. قَلْ لَا تُعَطِّلُوهَا مِنْ صَلَاةِ النَّافِلَةِ وَالدُّعَاءِ وَالْقِرَاءَةِ فَتَكُونُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْقُبُورِ. He's meaning, do not, or do not refrain from performing the optional prayers in them, and dua, and recitation of the Quran. And then you become like graves, because these things are not permissible in the grave. You don't recite Quran at the graves, and you don't call and make dua and the like. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِ عِيدًا. العيد ما يعتاد مجيئه وقصده من زمان ومكان أي لا تتخذوا قبر محل اجتماع ترددون إليه وتعتادونه للصلاة والدعاء وغير ذلك. He says, and do not take my grave as a Eid. He says the Eid is that which the people do it often, a place, in a particular place, and the exact time, and they repeat, they gather together and celebrate, and they celebrate. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي حَيْثُ كُنْتُمْ. He says, your salat, reach me wherever you may be. أي ما ينالني منكم من الصلاة يحصل مع قربكم وبعدكم من قبري فلا حاجة بكم إلى المجيء إليه والتردد عليه. Here that the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh, he says, the Prophet ﷺ telling his ummah, your salat, when he says, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم, he says, it reach me, whether you're near my grave or you're far away from it. So there is no need for you to come and make it a habit to come to my grave, at my gravesite, to give the salat. And this is one of the things that the ulama, they give as an answer, because certain people they ask, especially when they go for hajj, and then other people tell them, convey the salat and the salam to the Prophet ﷺ from me, since you're going to be there, since you're going to be right there by his grave. Ulama, they says, la, you can convey it yourself whenever you want. He's going to reach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. يقول الشيخ صالح فوزان حفظه الله تعالى, نهى صلى الله عليه وسلم عن تعطيل البيوت من صلاة النافلة فيها والدعاء وقراءة القرآن فتكون بمنزلة القبور. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the people from making their houses and their homes as graves by not performing the optional prayers in them, and by not making dua and reciting the Quran. That's what make these homes like graves. When the men do not perform the optional prayers and not making dua in their homes, not remembering Allah and reciting the Quran. لأن النهي عن الصلاة عند القبور قد تقرر عندهم فنهاهم أن يجعلوا بيوتهم كذلك. The Shaykh says, because the Sahaba, they already learned and they knew and learned from the Prophet ﷺ that is strictly forbidden to perform the prayers in the graves. So that's why he forbade them from making their homes as graves. ونهى عن تكرار زيارة قبره والاجتماع عنده على وجه معتاد لأجل الدعاء والتقرب لأن ذلك وسيلة إلى الشرك. Likewise, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the people from frequently visiting his grave and having those gatherings. People, they have these gatherings around his grave in a way that it become a routine. They have to do it at a certain time and keep doing it. He said, because, and then making dua and all of this, he said, because this is one of the avenues that lead to shirk. وأمر بالاكتفاء عن ذلك بكثرة الصلاة والسلام عليه في أي مكان من الأرض. And he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, direct his ummah to that which is better, is to send lot of salat and salam upon him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, in any corner of the earth you may be. You're in China, America, South America, Africa, Europe, doesn't matter where you are. There's no need for you to travel and go the whole way. And then now by his grave, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Whenever you are, you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. And that reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال لأن ذلك يبلغه من القريب والبعيد على حد سواء فلا حاجة إلى انتهاء بقبره. The Shaykh حفظه تعالى, he says, any person who give the salat and the salam upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they will reach the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He will reach that person, whether he is close or far from his grave صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Shaykh, he says, so there is no need for a person to go the whole way there to give the salat and the salam of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Any, whenever you may be, in America, Canada, Europe, Africa, you're close, far, you give the salat on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Now the relevance of this hadith to this chapter, أن فيه حسما لمادة الشرك وسدا للطرق الموصلة إليه, حيث أفاد أن القبور لا يصلى عندها ونهى عن الاجتماع عند قبره واعتياد المجيء إليه لأن ذلك مما يوصل إلى الشرك. He says, the Shaykh Fawzan says, this hadith decisively prohibits shirk in addition to all avenues and means leading to it. Now, shirk and all avenues that lead to it, anything that lead to it, is strictly prohibited. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibits Muslims from performing prayers or congregating for worship at his grave sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even paying it frequent visits for such practice entails shirk wal iyad billah, and may lead to shirk wal iyad billah. And that's the case. SubhanAllah, certain people, when you see people, how they humble themselves in front of the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, and some people, al-iyadu billah, they call upon him, or they forget, they are overwhelmed. And some other people, they just copy others. They just go there and they see a group of people crying. They facing the grave, not facing the Qibla. That's one violation. And then they cry. And then he's like, okay. He was leaving, but now he see them, especially these people ignorant, he see them with the big turbans, big beards, older in age, and they crying. And then he like, all right, these people look they better than me. And he sits next, stand next to them, and then he be hearing them saying, oh, Rasulullah, help us. And he's like, okay, oh, Rasulullah, help. Shirk. Be calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a lot of people, they just follow. They follow others, you know. سد الطريق المفضية, but rather we should follow the Quran and the Sunnah. We follow that which the Prophet ﷺ was upon and left for us. ما يستفاد من الحديث? What is some of the benefits of this hadith? Number one, سد الطرق المفضية إلى الشرك من الصلاة عند القبور والغلو في قبره صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن يجعل محل اجتماع وارتياد ترتب له زيارات مخصوصة. The first benefit, that all avenues leading to polytheism, shirk, must be blocked. Must be blocked. Therefore, establishing prayers at the graves and showing excessive reverence for the prophet's grave by gathering there or paying it frequent visits are prohibited. And by the way, when you go to visit, when you go to Medina, you don't go with the intention to visit the grave. Now, the intention is to visit the masjid. لا تشد الرحال إلى القبور. You don't travel for a grave, to visit a grave. But rather you travel to visit the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ to get the benefits. And while you're there, you give the salam of the Prophet ﷺ. Number two, أنه لا مزية للقرب من قبره ﷺ. To get closer to the Prophet's grave ﷺ has no merit or excellence. It's not like those who are close to him, is they better than those who make salat far? لا. رابعا المنع من السفر لزيارة قبره صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is prohibited to go on a journey solely for the sake of visiting the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is prohibited. Sheikh Fawzani says, it is prohibited to go on a journey solely for the sake of visiting the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. خامسا حمايته صلى الله عليه وسلم جناب التوحيد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also in this hadith exerted great endeavors for the sake of protecting the purity of توحيد. نعم. The last hadith وعن علي بن الحسن الحسين أنه رأى رجلا يجيء إلى فرجة كانت عند قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيدخل فيها فيدعو فنهاه وقال ألا أحدثكم حديثا سمعته من أبي عن جدي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا ولا بيوتكم قبورا فإن تسليمكم يبلغني أينما أو حيث كنتم. علي بن الحسين, علي the son of حسين, the son of علي. Okay. So Ali, it's not like Hussein ibn Ali. Now this is Ali, the son of Hussein, radiyallahu anhu, the son of Ali. So Ali ibn Abi Talib is his grand, is his grandfather. Okay, his name is Ali too. طيب. So he narrated that he saw a man at a space that was at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that man would go in that space and supplicate. So Ali, the son of Al-Hussein, prevented that man from doing this and instructing him, saying, should I not tell you a hadith which I heard from my father, who in turn heard it from my grandfather, meaning Ali radiallahu anh, who protected or who reported from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, do not take my grave as a place of celebration, nor your homes as graves. Make salat, meaning the blessings and the like, upon me, for your salutation will be conveyed to me from wherever you are. Sheikh gave us a brief tarjama of Ali ibn al-Hussein. He says, he is Ali ibn al-Hussein, Ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, al-ma'roof bi Zain al-Abidin, afdal al-tabi'in. That he is Ali, the son of al-Husayn, the son of Ali, radiyallahu anhum. And he was known, his kunya was Zain al-Abidin. Zain al-Abidin, he's one of the best and the noblest of the tabi'in. He is the noblest of al-tabi'in. He died in the year 93 of the Hijrah. In the year 93 of the Hijrah. Forja, this space here that they mention, it was a little opening in the wall. In the wall, that person will go there. Okay? مناسبة الحديث للباب أن فيه النهي عن قصد قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأجل الدعاء عنده فغيره من القبور من باب أولى لأن ذلك نوع من اتخاذه عيدا وهو وسيلة إلى الشرك والعياذ بالله. The reason the Sheikh he mentioned this, brought this hadith into this chapter, Sheikh Fawzan Habatahara says, because it contains a prohibition. What is that prohibition? That is strictly prohibited to go to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ to make dua at the grave, to make dua at the site of the grave. So if this is prohibited, to make dua at the graves of the Prophet ﷺ, making dua in any other grave is more strictly forbidden. If it's not permissible to make dua by his grave, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what about those who go to other graves, to other people, وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ and make graves and make dua? Why? Because this is one of the ways that people now they become accustomed to do this. They will go. That's why people they go to this grave and do it. And this is leads to shirk, وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Now they're not asking the person in the grave, but eventually will lead them to shirk, وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. ما يستفاد من الحديث؟ What are some of the benefits of this hadith? أولا النهي عن الدعاء عند قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حماية لحمى التوحيد. That is prohibited to make dua by the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. All of this to protect the purity of belief and to protect the tawheed. People when they want to make dua, the ulama they says, you have the masjid. That the etiquette, a person pass by the grave, don't even stop and stand and face it. Why you passing by the grave? You give the salam. That's all you do. You give the salam, and then you give the salam to Abu Bakr and Umar, and you keep moving. You want to make dua? You face the qibla. You know, and the masjid is spacious for that, and you go to the first row. People they camp right there by his grave. And certain people, عياذ بالله, from al-juhal, from the ignorance, extreme Sufis, and from the rawafid, la'natullahi alayhim, what they do when they are chased for their own benefit by the guards, and there's some of them, they want to fight the guards. And I've seen it, some of them are pushing the guards. Why you want to, like, it's like, you don't want me to worship or something. They're calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they chase them away for their own benefit, what they do? They go outside, and then in the courtyard of the masjid, and they face the qabr in groups. A'udhu billah. But then the guards, they leave them there. Okay. What are you going to do? Number two, مشروعية إنكار المنكر وتعليم الجاهل. It is legislated for us to forbid evil and teach the ignorance. Okay? To forbid evil and to teach those who don't know is legislated for us. Number three, المنع من السفر لزيارة قبر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حماية للتوحيد. It was repeated from the other one, that was number four. That it is prohibited to go on a journey solely for the sake of visiting the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is to protect Tawheed. Because people do a lot of crazy things once they get close to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. رابعا أن الغرض الشرعي من زيارة قبره صلى الله عليه وسلم هو السلام عليه فقط وذلك يبلغه من القريب والبعيد. That the legal purpose of visiting the grave of the Prophet ﷺ is to greet him only. That's the legal purpose of visiting his grave صلى الله عليه وسلم, is to greet him only. And such an act, however, is achieved whether a person is near the Prophet's grave or anywhere else. Allahu Akbar. You don't have to be. People are fighting to be who's going to be close to the door, to the wall. Nah. Whenever you are, they're greeting. Alhamdulillah, that purpose is achieved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon Tawheed and protect us and our offsprings from shirk. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.